Okay. That'll probably be good. Okay, so I'll just kind of dive right in, I guess.
Okay.
I just want to start out talking kind of about your first roller derby experience.
Okay.
So if you just want to explain a little bit about that.
Okay. My younger sister played derby with a league in Chicago called the Chi-Town Sirens, and they don't exist anymore. But I went to go see her play in, I guess it was spring of 07, and went to go see her play in March, and the first bout I went to, I just knew I had to try it. It was wild and athletic and campy and entertaining, and it was just so much fun. I'd always been involved in sports, and so I really liked that aspect of it. Like, it was more athletic than I thought it would be, but it was also a sport that didn't take itself very, you know, didn't take itself too seriously, so I really liked that, too.
That's awesome. And so you said you saw it first in March, so then how long did you wait until you tried out then? Did you go right away, or?
Well, I found out that Madison's League had tryouts in July of that year. So, yeah, it was March when I saw my sister play, and I got my skates a few weeks later and spent the rest of the summer and spring learning how to ski.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Can you just talk a little bit about the process of tryouts? Just kind of, you just show up, or how does it work?
The way the league here did it, we have a series of open skates where you can come and, this is before tryouts actually start, it's a few weeks in advance. You can come and get to meet the skaters and practice skating a little bit. So I went to one or two of those, and then tryouts were a weekend in July, and you come in on Saturday afternoon, and everybody, you know, if you don't have your own skates, you rent some, and basically, the first day of tryouts is just learning how to skate, and
okay.
The skaters in the league teach you the fundamentals for people who don't know how to skate already, and you work on some skills that are useful in derby, like learning how to fall down. So then the first day after tryouts, we all went home and waited for a phone call to be invited back for the second day, and then the second day was Sunday morning, so it was just like one weekend, and did more drills and more instruction, and I think what a lot of the skaters were looking for is maybe not so much how well you can skate, because they know a lot of people don't have skating experience, but like how well you can learn, like if you're somebody who's doesn't take instruction very well, you might not might not make it back, or if you just have a really bad attitude, they might not invite you back, I guess.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, and then Sunday evening we waited for another phone call and then found out that I was a baby doll, and that's still haven't really made it into the league yet. You're still on a trial basis. We had 3 or 4 months of practices together as baby dolls. We learned definitely a lot more about how to skate, how to play the game, how to hit, how to fall, like all the fundamentals. And then at the end of that period, then the teams actually drafted new skaters onto their teams.
Okay.
And into the league.
Okay. So is there a process of figuring out which team you will be on? I've heard that it's kind of like teams each have their own kind of personalities, or is that not really how it works?
I think every skater comes into tryouts wanting to be on a specific team.
Okay.
And you don't always get what you want.
Yeah.
Because you know, the teams have their needs, and then they you know, just they pick basically based on like the previous year's standing, so the worst place team gets to pick first. And And we don't know how it really works. Only the people who are actually drafting teams, once you've been in the league and you know, you've skated for a year, you don't even know what goes on at the draft unless you're actually the person from your team drafting. It's very secret.
Huh.
So, yeah, I think everybody probably has a team that they want to get on, but the teams, some of the teams had get-to-know-you nights, where it's almost like rushing a sorority, where you get to meet the other skaters and talk with them, and I think people were kind of testing out like people's personalities and a lot of it, too, is just other, you know, the skaters are watching you at every practice to see, you know, how you're doing and if you have what they look for.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit about the naming process? Like, because your name is Rosetta Stone. I haven't said that yet. Does that kind of depend on what team you're on, too? Or how does it kind of, just talk a little bit about, like, the naming process, I guess.
For me, I spent all summer while I was trying out coming up with a list of good names, and then when I actually got drafted onto a team, the names that I had picked out I didn't like, and I didn't feel like they went with the team's aesthetic.
Okay.
And I don't know that it really matters, But for me, it just felt wrong to have one of the other names.
Okay.
So, yeah, so then I was kind of scrambling because, you know, I got drafted, like, on Thursday night, and, you know, and everyone wants to get their names registered as soon as possible because, I don't know if you know, but skater names are proprietary, like actors' names in Hollywood.
Oh,
so you have to register them, and you can't have the same name as someone else in the country, or can't be too close to someone else's name.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a scramble. And now there's so many people playing derby that there's thousands of skaters that you have to, yeah. you know, make sure your name doesn't conflict with theirs. So I had to, you know, I had to scramble because I had to figure out a name that I wanted that I felt represented me. And some people pick derby names based on, like, what their career is. Maybe they, like, my sister plays, she played in Chicago, but now she plays in Minneapolis. And she got her PhD in physics, mm-hmm. so she's Jane Reaction, because she wanted to pay homage to her career yeah. path. And I was between jobs, and so I didn't, or I'm not really between, I'm between jobs now, but anyway, making things complicated. I didn't have a career that I really felt I wanted to acknowledge in that way,
mm-hmm.
so then I had to try to find something else about me that I wanted to pick my name based
yeah.
on. So I had been studying French and Spanish, and I thought that would be something fun to try
yeah.
to work in there. So, yeah, I was thinking, hey, Rosetta Stone would be a really awesome name. And then my husband said, how about Rosetta Stoned,
yeah.
the D, you know? So, yeah, so my mom freaked out. She's like, Rosetta Stone, what does this mean? What are you not telling me?
oh,
I'm like, Mom,
no.
the D is for Derby, really. You know?
yeah.
So that's how I picked my name.
Okay.
And actually, I threw the D in so that those software people wouldn't give me any grief about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. And
but,
it fits, too, with, like, with the team you're on, the Reservoir Dogs,
yeah,
right?
I think so, yeah, because
yeah.
everybody on my team is, like, an assassin, has,
yeah.
like, her own special ability, you know, and mine is languages.
Yeah.
Master of whatever, so.
So can you tell me a little bit about the differences that you feel you have between being Rosetta Stone and Meredith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meredith is a total square. Originally, I was thinking my derby name should be the rhombus because it was like the one thing. Derby was keeping me from being a complete square. Because I've always walked like the straight and narrow path, and I've, you know, been a good girl and, you know, done what was expected of me, and I'm a people pleaser, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, yeah. So Rosetta Stone is none of those things.
Yeah.
You know, she's. You know, I had never smoked pot before I became Rosetta Stoned, and, you know, I didn't even, like, when I picked my, you pick your name and your number, and I didn't know what number I wanted, because
mm-hmm.
I was thinking of the Rosetta Stone, you know, help them interpret hieroglyphics and, you know, with Greek and whatever, and so I wanted to be the number 3, but our league has a rule where you can't have the same number as someone else on another team, because if you play interleague together, it's confusing, or
mm-hmm.
during a bout against each other, it can be confusing, so I couldn't be number 3. So I didn't know what number to be, and my brother-in-law suggested 420, and I was like, what does that mean? Like, what's
yeah.
the relevance? I had to look it up on Wikipedia, and now I know a lot more about
it's
drug culture than
yeah.
I ever did. And it's been kind of fun, though, to try to explore that side of Rosetta Stone. For example, like at the end of the season, we're all given a necklace with a bearing on it that's engraved with our name and
mm-hmm.
the year that we became, you know, joined the league.
Oh, nice.
And my necklace gives me a rash because I'm allergic to nickel or whatever the metal is, and so I was like, well, what would Rosetta do? Oh, Rosetta would weave a hemp necklace.
Yes.
So I have mine on a hemp necklace. And yeah, so it's been kind of fun. Like, yeah, the first season I was really thinking, like, Rosetta Stone is a linguist, and she's like an archaeology type, like Indiana Jones kind of character.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became more fun to kind of explore the other side of Rosetta Stone,
yeah.
especially because one of my teammates insists on calling me Stoner when everyone else calls me Rosetta or Rosie. So that makes it fun. I was at the doctor's once, and one of my teammates walked by, and she was like, "Hey, Stoner!"
He just totally.
And of course, I was Meredith was mortified. Rosetta
yeah.
was like, "Yeah."
That's great. So, what do you do outside of derby? Like, what does Meredith do?
Meredith is looking for a job that she doesn't completely hate.
Mm-hmm.
She still likes learning languages because she wants to travel. I'm gonna go to Mexico for a month this summer to work on my Spanish, so that's exciting.
Yeah,
yeah, I've had many careers. I was an economist, I worked in community planning, I worked as a lifeguard and a water aerobics instructor. That was
mm-hmm.
a hoot. And I worked as a technical writer for a software company, and you know, I just haven't found my passion in life, and so, yeah, that's Meredith. I've always enjoyed physical activity, so I don't identify myself by my job or my career as much as, like, I'm a runner, or I'm a triathlete, or I'm a swimmer, or I'm a derby girl, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
that's what else I do.
So is there kind of a process that you go through, like, making the transition from Meredith to Rosetta on bout days?
I never really thought about it that way. I mean, I've always been involved in sports, at competitive sports, so I've always had, like, pre-game ritual or pre-race, you know, routine that I go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe a little bit of that is getting into Rosetta Stone, especially, like, last season especially. I remember there was one or two bouts that fell during March Madness, the NCAA basketball tournament.
Okay.
And my husband and I are big sports fans, and so we watch as many games as we can. And I remember, like, watching those games and getting really psyched up to play derby that night. And, you know, basketball is not exactly the same as roller derby.
Yeah.
But it was, like, seeing the physicality or the aggressiveness, you know, was like, yeah, I'm going to go do that. And then I had one of my best games of the season.
Oh, that's
awesome. So that's kind of cool. So, yeah, now I try to find, like, sports on TV, competitive sports on Saturdays before bouts.
Okay.
So if I can. I think just... In general, just putting the uniform on, putting on the costume, kind of helps me change my identity a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I was going to ask you about how the costuming process kind of makes you feel different. Like, can you talk a little bit about that? Like,
yeah,
which equipment helps you make you feel a certain way, if any?
Okay. I first started, I remember, like, putting on all the pads and thinking, like, feeling like I was a gladiator gearing up for a battle.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. Because, I mean, we wear wrist guards and elbow pads and knee pads and helmets, and it's like, it all goes into making you feel, I don't know, like you're tough or hardcore or whatever. Feel kind of like a giant when I put my skates on, because I really do gain like 3 or 4 inches in height, and so that helps make the transition a little bit. It's kind of hard to say though that like gearing up on game day is a lot different than any like
practices.
Yeah, practices too, because certainly it took a while to get used to being called Rosetta instead of my real name, but now like even when I go to practice, like Rosie's there and not Meredith sometimes, so or most of the time. It's kind of funny because I think. Well, Meredith is very organized and very, just does all the right things. She's very timely, and Rosetta is sometimes running late, and she doesn't take notes. Because even when we're doing, like, team meetings, you know, it's like, Rosie never seems to have a pen or a piece of paper, but Meredith in class would always have one, you know? Rosie's a little more scatterbrained than Meredith. But I think maybe that's because that's what I like. I mean, derby, I don't want to take it too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's why Meredith hasn't crept back in there to kind of ruin it for Rosie.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I'm making sense.
No, that makes complete sense. I think
like,
that's...
Yeah, I'm having like a stream of consciousness thing right now. So.
Yeah, that's good. That's what I'm looking for that. That's great. So there are pieces of your... like, there's requirements of what items you're supposed to wear, right?
Yeah.
Like, what
we have to have a helmet, and you have to have a mouth guard, and you have to have wrist guards, elbow pads, and knee pads.
Okay.
Some people choose to wear alternate. Like, some people, like, there are some teams we scrimmaged in Chicago that wore shin guards, and, I mean, but that's all optional. I have a shoulder injury from derby, which is really great. I dislocated my shoulder repeatedly last summer, and so now I wear this ugly brace that keeps it from dislocating if I were to fall funny.
Okay.
And, so that's one other piece of my equipment that I wear. And then everybody's got their derby flair that they wear on game day. You know, like, I have to wear a bandana under my helmet, and I think I used to do that because my helmet didn't fit me quite right, and so it was, like, a little extra space. But now I feel naked without it.
Okay. I think that's part of Rosie, too.
Yeah, kind
of are there other items that you incorporate into the costuming of Rosetta?
Yeah. Rosie wears, like I said, the hemp necklaces that she made. And when Rosie's not actually bouting and she doesn't have her helmet on, she usually tends to wear, like, a bandana. Not a bandana. Like a scarf or something in her hair. Kind of go for, like, the bohemian kind of look, you know. And, of course, the biggest difference, it's, like, this stupid Clark Kent thing, is that Meredith doesn't wear her contact lenses very often anymore, but Rosie always wears them.
Okay.
So, and it's mostly because when I do wear my contacts when I play sports, but sometimes I'm, like, if I go running or something, I might not throw my contacts in because just, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
But for something like derby, I can't wear my glasses. I'm too worried about breaking them. And,
right.
And I just don't feel like, I wouldn't want to wear them. Like, even if I wasn't worried about them getting broken or something through contact, I feel like a different person with my glasses off now.
Okay.
And it's funny because when I was a kid, I had glasses I had my glasses until I was 14 and went to high school, and my parents let me get contacts. And then I would never be caught dead wearing glasses.
Yeah.
And then when I got done with school and started working in the real world, sitting in front of a computer all day, I couldn't wear my contacts anymore because mm-hmm. they were giving me problems. So now I just wear my glasses all the time. So it's kind of funny how I've kind of shifted in that sense. I wouldn't be caught dead wearing glasses, but Meredith wears them all the time. But yeah, Rosie definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. So do you feel like the costuming process is really important to derby? Like, how is it important, if it is, in your opinion?
You know, when I first watched derby, I thought it was really important because every girl that I saw playing had her own little unique take on the team's theme. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, usually, you know, it's... Everybody wears a shirt, of course, of some mm-hmm. sort.
Yeah.
That's left up to, you know, your interpretation. But and then some kind of bottoms, like shorts or a skirt. But everybody, what I liked about derby was everybody could do their own unique thing.
Yeah.
And some people wore skirts, some people wore shorts, some people wore hot pants, some people wore fishnets, some people didn't. So that's what that's part of what drew me to derby was the individuality of it. And I do see some teams. We hosted a tournament in October with teams from around the country, and you know, you see some of the teams maybe getting a little sportier look where they're all wearing the same uniform.
Oh, okay.
And it kind of a little part of me dies inside when I see that because it's like that's taking some of the fun out of derby. And like there's always discussion, you know, like should skaters numbers be limited to a certain range so that it's easy for people to call penalties on people, because some people's numbers have letters in them, some people's numbers are symbols,
mm-hmm.
some people, you know, that's part of the fun of derby is where you get to express yourself in your costume or in your number or whatever. My costume's not that exciting because I'm still trying to figure out some of the aspects of Rosie, especially within the constraint of our team theme, which is I'm on the Reservoir Dolls, which is like a crime syndicate. So we tend to try to look like we're wearing suits, and it's kind of hard to go very crazy with that, I think.
Right.
And I'm still trying to figure that out, what I want to do with that.
Okay.
But I've definitely made some specific decisions. Like, I've worn fishnets before for bouts, and I realize that for me, I think showing a little bit of leg, because, you know, I wear knee socks all the time, and then you have your pads on, and then I have my skirt, and it's like, to me, showing that little bit of leg, actually, between your knee and your thigh, like, I think that's a little sexier than covering it all in fishnets.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other girls who think that, like, I would never be caught dead with playing without fishnets, because that's what I like. And so, I don't know, everybody's got their own take on it.
Right. Yeah. So can you kind of talk through the process you personally go through on the day of a bout? Like, is there, like you were saying, in other sports, you kind of had this game day ritual type thing. Is there something you usually always do with derby, or
so far what I always do is the bouts are on a Saturday or Sunday, so when they're on Saturdays they're in the evening, when they're on Sundays we've only had one on Sunday so far, and my mm-hmm. ritual was a little different, but like on Saturdays I tend to sleep in and just kind of relax in bed and read a book for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I make sure I get up, because if I stay in bed too long, then it's like gravity doesn't know what it's doing when I do get on skates later.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you've been laying in bed all day. I usually try to make sure I do something, like something's active. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like going, like, I don't know, like walking to go buy bagels or doing the dishes or something. And then packing my bag, making sure I have everything I need, or my bags, making sure I have everything I need, all my equipment and my clothes, because I usually don't change into my costume until I get to the rink.
Okay.
Or at least parts of it. And having a pre-race, or that's other sports coming out, pre-race. Having my pre-bout meal, because we're going to be at the rink for quite a while, mm-hmm. and making sure I eat a lot of carbs, but, you know, I always bring a banana to the rink and make sure I have my water bottles and my Gatorade for later. And And then my husband and I usually have to run to the library because we don't have a printer right now, and my husband does stats and he needs to print out some sheets, and then we go to the venue.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's kind of our ritual, and it's kind of boring. And
well, do you think is that Meredith getting ready for the bout, and then when you're at the actual venue, is that when Rosetta kind of takes over and you
make the
transition?
That's a good way to describe it. Yeah, because that's Meredith, like very methodical and thinking about everything. And yeah, and when, once Rosie gets to the ring, she just wants to chill out.
Yeah.
I found that. I like in between the way our league is structured, we have a doubleheader, and then you play the first half of one game and then the first half of the second game.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, so then there's halftime, and then you finish each of the other two games. And if I'm in the second game, especially, like during halftime, I can't like go out and chit chat in the crowd and look for friends. Like it makes me too stressed out.
Yeah.
I just need to like be in a quiet place and just relax a little before the next, the second half of the game. I don't know, maybe that's Meredith creeping back in, because I would definitely say Rosie's more social than Meredith.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a really shy, timid person.
Okay.
And when I put my uniform on, I can talk to anybody at the rink or anybody in the crowd and make conversation with people. I don't feel stupid, and probably wouldn't do that if I was just Meredith.
Yeah. That's exciting. I like that about the movie. So then, oh, there was going to be something I thought of while you were saying that.
Sorry.
But no, that's okay.
I probably talk way too much.
No, it's perfect, actually. It's great. So how does Rosetta's outfit differ from your day-to-day outfit? Like, what do you wear normally? What does Meredith wear?
Meredith wears jeans and a sensible shirt that's comfortable, and usually wears a sweater everywhere she goes because she's always cold and hot and needs to wear layers. And, and this is embarrassing, but, like, Meredith wears very sensible underwear, and Rosie wears, like, a lacy push-up bra under her uniform.
Yeah.
And I've never been in a sport where I've worn a push-up bra under my uniform, you know? But I think every derby girl is like, well, just in case, you know, in case the fans see a little, it'll help keep them in the seats, you know? It's a lot sexier than seeing a sports bra. But, and then, you know, I wouldn't say my costume is that different than what I might wear for a sporting event, in the sense that, you know, like, I chose a tennis skirt just because I didn't want to deal with figuring out what I was going to wear underneath a skirt.
Right.
And I'm probably a little too self-conscious to want to wear, like, hot pants or something.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I wear knee socks, which I wouldn't have been caught dead wearing knee socks in, you know. Before I started doing roller derby.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually try to find a different pair of socks to wear for every bout. And things with stars, polka dots, the one I have, I think, tonight is Argyles.
All right.
And with my team colors. I try to keep it with my team colors. And, and then our uniform shirts, we all just had to get, like, a button-down shirt. And I ripped the sleeves off mine because I thought that's what a derby girl would do.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wear white ties. So
that's
pretty much everything. And I honestly would never have worn a tie for a sporting competition before derby either. But we make them breakaway ties so somebody can't grab them and choke us with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's probably pretty wise.
Yeah. So yeah, if you get close up, you can see there's Velcro on the back. Keep it together. Yeah.
Well, good. Is there anything else you kind of want to say about, like, maybe how the costuming process makes you feel or anything at all? I think you answered all my other questions, too.
Yeah, so. I just feel, like, totally strong and sexy when I am playing derby, and I wear more makeup for roller derby than I do for my regular life.
Okay.
I don't think I even wore that much makeup when I got married. And, you know, I primp and preen a lot more than I ever do in the rest of my life when it comes to being in character, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of it is just because it's fun to play dress up. And,
right. And
part of it is, like, it's fun to try to be this other person who's more confident or more outgoing or whatever.
Yeah. You're able to express yourself in a completely different way.
Yeah.
That's good. Okay, well, that's all the questions I had, so you can go ahead and stop this if I know how.